bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptists. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Reiner, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host and radio Bible teacher, Scott Reiner. Today our study comes from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, as we examine Jesus' power over the wind and waves, and how that same power can help us overcome our own storms of life. Please join us for today's study. This morning, I encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, and there I'd like to read from the fourth chapter, verses 35 through 41. Once again, we'll be reading from Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter, verses 35 through 41. This passage of Scripture, apart from being a very well-known biblical narrative, is also very significant because it contains three major practical elements associated with the Christian's life. For example, there is the element of Christ's sovereignty, there is the element of faith, there is the element of fear. Now, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then you have experienced the sovereignty of Christ in your life. You've experienced the triumph of faith, and you've also experienced the bitter defeat of fear. So, taking into account these three principles, as we read this passage, I want you to keep in mind that the major theme here, that is, this narrative, is not any particular teaching of Christ per se, or one of His unique sayings. It's not even His example of faith and courage that He displayed in the midst of such dangerous circumstances. But rather, the major theme of this passage concerns itself with these three basic elements. It concerns itself with Christ and His power as the divine Son of God over the circumstances that affect our life and our response to that sovereignty, which could either be faith, if we believe in the truth of the sovereignty of Christ, or in fear, if we focus on our circumstance and its perceived power rather than the power of Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, please read with me from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. By inspiration, we have recorded these words. On the same day, when evening had come, He said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was. And other little boats were also with Him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But He was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then He arose and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But He said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" One of the things in life that I truly find fascinating is how two people can either observe or experience the exact same thing, and yet come away with two totally different responses. Take, for example, storms. There are some individuals who see great beauty in storms. They marvel at the majestic power the storm conveys through the roaring thunder and the bright flashes of lightning. In fact, there are some people that get quite excited. They're called storm chasers. In fact, these people, instead of heading away from a storm, head straight towards it. Now, there are others who don't go quite as far as that, but they do observe the strength of the wind as the trees sway back and forth. They look into the heavens, and they cannot help but stand in awe of the mysterious beauty of the dark clouds, especially when there is lightning in the background, and for just a moment, it cast an eerie glow upon the clouds. To many, storms are a revelation of great beauty of this natural world. But, however, they are also a revelation of tremendous power. And it would be foolish for me or anyone not to respect that aspect of storms. For they can, and have, caused serious damage and even death. Now, this leads us to another response of storms. And that is fear. There are some individuals who have such an extreme fear of storms that it can be described as a paralyzing fear. They become so frightened that they are afraid to move. They're afraid to breathe. They cannot think properly. Basically, this paralyzing fear causes an individual to no longer function as they should. Normal fear and respect has been replaced by an abnormal fear and respect. And when this happens, people lose the ability to function as they should. Now, not only are there natural storms, but there is also what we might call storms of life. And people respond to these types of storms differently as well. Some react very negatively. They remain in a constant state of fear. They break under the pressures that these storms can bring to our lives. But on the other hand, there are some who react more positively. They take the opportunity, as difficult as it may be, to look for the beauty in these, quote, storms of life, as a means of growing closer in their relationship with Christ. Through the demonstration of their faith and reliance in Christ, they turn tragedy into triumph. They turn fear into victory. Now, while this passage in Mark refers to an occasion involving a natural storm, there are many valuable lessons that we can learn to help us weather the storms of life. We need to learn that we are not to be controlled or manipulated by external circumstances, regardless of appearance. By trusting and relying upon Christ, we can overcome and experience victory over these storms. Now, in this passage, the point is clearly demonstrated that because Jesus Christ is, in fact, in control of all things that affect our life, we can meet all of life's difficult challenges in total confidence. Now, let me go back and say that again. Because Jesus Christ is in control of all things that affect our life, we can meet all of life's difficult challenges in total confidence. Now, initially, this is seen in reference to the unknown. In fact, most of the time, people describe fear in terms of the unknown. That is, it is often defined as the fear of the unknown. And by that, they mean that what causes fear is that which we don't fully understand or fully comprehend, or that which happens unexpectedly, or even that which we haven't experienced as of yet. Now, I suppose there's a great deal of truth to that, if based upon nothing else than pure experience. But as we face these unknown fears in whatever form, we can do so confidently because of the sovereignty of Christ. Look at verses 35 and 36. These verses relate to us how Jesus instructs his disciples to depart with him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. In these verses, it reads, "On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in their boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Now I want you to notice specifically verse 35. Again, Jesus says, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now from the perspective of Jesus, Jesus had a plan or a purpose in getting to the other side. And we might also emphasize that he had every intention of reaching the other side. But on the same token, from the perspective of the disciples, they were embarking into the unknown. Now, the Sea of Galilee has been described as one of nature's grand design. This large body of water fills a basin that is surrounded by a mountainous region, and its fresh water is a very important source of life to the largely barren countryside of Palestine. But perhaps the aspect of this sea that stands out more than any other is how violent storms can erupt at any time, without a moment's notice. This is due because of its unique location in the mountains between the Mediterranean Sea and the desert. One author describes how the lake is exposed to strong quirks of nature. Violent winds can come across its surface as if blowing through a funnel. These winds can come without warning and can turn the tranquil lake into a roaring tempest in a matter of seconds. In fact, the same author goes on to relate that even with today's modern equipment, there are those in Palestine who refuse to sail on the Sea of Galilee for fear of perishing under the wrath of her violent moods. Now, this graphic description of the Sea of Galilee is very much like our own lives. Our lives can be very satisfying and tranquil at one moment, and then in the next, it can be full of violence and turbulence. Think about all of the tragedies, the accidents, the terrorist attacks that have taken place, where multitudes of people lost their lives. But just prior to that, they were thinking that life was going to be like any other day. They had no anticipation that that was going to be the last time that they might see their precious loved one, or that they might become hurt or sick. We never know what's going to happen in the next moment. Look at verse 37. This verse says, "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling." Now this verse teaches us that one of the things that fishermen from this geographical area feared most actually happened. Out of nowhere, without any warning, a terrible storm suddenly develops, and it threatens their very existence. Although they knew the possibilities of this happening, by the mood of this passage, we can only reason that this was something they were not expecting. And as one noted theologian observes, perhaps it was here that the sailor's prayer was first uttered. "O Lord, your sea is so great, and my boat is so small." Now, most of us are never quite as impressed with the frailty and the limitedness of our own lives until we find ourselves in the open sea of life, in the middle of a dark, violent storm. And in those times, we can feel so helpless, so overwhelmed. We begin to think of ourselves as being at the mercy of these circumstances. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment how the body of this ship might apply to us. Notice in the first portion of this 37th verse where it states that the waves beat into the boat. Whenever we face any storm in life, one unfailing characteristic of these storms is that they tend to constantly beat against us. It seems like they are unrelentless in their assault against us. And if we're not careful, they can batter us down to a point of fear and weakness. And this can lead to such things as worrying, anxiety, depression, stress, fear, mental and physical tension, addictions, and even nervous breakdowns. These are basic results of being overpowered by situations that we may encounter in life. Now, this passage teaches us that the waves had beat into the boat to the point that it was full and about to sink. Now, I can only imagine that if you're out in the open sea and your boat begins to take on water, that cannot be a good feeling. And so this, coupled with everything else, just added to the fears of these disciples. Now, as you read this narrative, you may find it very easy to identify with the emotional state of these disciples. You may find it easy to feel their sense of desperation for the simple reason that you've been there. You've experienced personally the fear of the unknown, that which you don't fully understand, that which happens unexpectedly, and that which you have not experienced. For example, when the doctor comes to you and says that the feeling of discomfort that you've been experiencing is cancer. Or when your boss comes to you and says that the company is downsizing, they're having to cut back, and as a result, they're going to have to let you go. And you have a family to support, you have financial obligations to meet. Or maybe when your spouse comes to you and says that they've had an affair. Or maybe when the phone rings in the early evening and the voice says that your son or daughter has been seriously injured in an automobile accident. You remember that experience of fear. You remember the feeling of absolute helplessness and perhaps even desperation. You remember your heart pounding so hard that it felt like your chest was going to just rip open. But you also remember that what enabled you to face those challenges, what enabled you to square off with the reality that tragic things do happen in the lives of those who love God, is that Jesus Christ is in control. He is in control of everything, and that means everything that affects your life. He is sovereign, and nothing escapes His sovereignty. And that what He does for a purpose. He does that which will bring Him the greatest glory, and He will do that which will edify, that is, teach and strengthen us. For example, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, Paul writes, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Now, one of the most meaningful hymns to me along these lines is "All the Way My Savior Leads," when Fanny Crosby writes, "All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know, whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know, whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." But fear is not the major issue here. Rather, it's what we do about it through Christ. Do we allow ourselves to be dominated by external circumstances? Or are we comforted and led by the peace of Jesus Christ? Now, this brings us to our second major point. You see, not only can we face the unknown confidently because Jesus Christ is in control of all things that affect our lives, we can also face our fears because Jesus has the power to overcome our fears. Look at verse 38. Here Mark writes, "But He was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke Him and said to Him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" During this violent storm, Jesus was sleeping peacefully in the back of the boat. Next, this verse teaches us that the disciples woke Jesus up and asked Him a very serious question. "Teacher," or "Master, don't you care that we're about to die?" Now, one commentator describes this as being a stupid question. Another commentator states that it was a perfectly natural question in a state of panic. In fact, he goes on to say how these disciples were trying to communicate their panic to Jesus. They believe that what caused them to panic should also cause him to panic. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ does not share in our fear. Now, I think he understands our fears, and perhaps he even feels for us when we as his children are genuinely afraid. But he himself is not fearful. Instead of trying so desperately to communicate our panic and our fear to Christ, we need to be open and receptive to him so that he can communicate the presence of his peace and his strength to us. Now, in those circumstances of fear, Christ is there to communicate his strength and peace to us so that by faith we can overcome. We can recognize his love and his provisions for us. But Satan works to tempt us to believe otherwise. According to Scripture, we have no immediate response from Jesus to them personally, but that he actually saved his words for the wind and the sea. For example, look at verse 39. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. This was one of the most astonishing miracles of Christ, and it was one that had a very profound impact upon the disciples, mainly because Jesus controlled the forces of nature by his voice. Those forces that were jeopardizing their very existence. There was no pomp and circumstance, no great prayer. He simply spoke, and the wind and the sea obeyed his voice. But I want you to notice that Christ's power extended not only to the cause of their situation, that is, the wind, but that it also extended to the effects, and that is, the waves. Remember, the waves had beat into the ship so that it was already filling, perhaps about to sink. Now, this teaches us that Jesus Christ not only has power over the cause of problems in our life, but that he also has power over the effects of those problems in our life as well. Just as he is able to bring peace and calm to the Sea of Galilee, he is able to bring peace and calm to the most troubled situations in our life. He can deal with the source of our problems, and he can deal with the effects of our problems. Now, that doesn't mean that in every situation that Christ will necessarily remove these things, but he will give us grace and confidence and strength to be able to sail through them and eventually reach safety because we are preserved in his tender care. Now look at verse 40. Here it says, "But he said to them, 'Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" Jesus presented two important questions to his disciples that are vital for us today. Number one, why are you so fearful? And two, how is it that you have no faith? And actually, these two questions are interrelated. Fear is the result of a lack of faith. Fear is the antithesis to faith. The reason that we fear is because we're not exercising faith. If we're exercising faith, there should be nothing to be afraid of. One of the greatest enemies to faith is the deception of self-reliance. Often we're afraid to rely upon Christ because we're too busy trying to rely on ourselves. Often we have more faith in ourselves than we do in Christ. And when it really counts, self-sufficiency just isn't able to cut it. It's going to be a failure time and time again. Only Christ is strong enough to meet our needs. Now this brings us to our third and final point. Because Jesus Christ is in control over the things that affect our life, he deserves our praise, that is, our worship. Look at verse 41. And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? The disciples' response to this demonstration of Christ's miraculous power made them realize that this Jesus was no ordinary man. Now, I want you to notice that it says that they feared. They feared exceedingly. The term fear comes from the Greek word phobeo, which means to fear, to be afraid. It also means to show reverential fear. It's also given in the passive voice, which means that they received the action of the verb. In other words, there was something that moved them to fear, to be afraid, or to stand in reverential fear of Jesus Christ. You see, the bottom line is that these disciples did not come away from this incident unscathed. Rather, they were profoundly impacted. Perhaps for the first time they realized just how fragile and vulnerable they really were in a hostile world. And perhaps for the first time they realized that Jesus was very different from them, because he is God in flesh. We can face the unknown because Jesus has the power to overcome our fears, the cause and the effects. We can also rightly worship and praise him because of who he is and his awesome power that he so often demonstrates on behalf of his people. Until next week, may the Lord bless you, is our prayers.
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's holy word, to the Saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to his Lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at this same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word and in all lowercase letters. Once again, that's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.